Thank you very much for coming. I would like to first thank the organizers for organizing a very interesting conference. What I'm going to talk about today is the qubit dynamics under low frequency noise and continuous measurement, and what this effect can be used to control low frequency noise for quantum computing. Those are my collaborators at NIST, Stephen Carl at Gettysburg, and Ray Simmons in Boulder. And this is a recent preprint about this work in the archive. So in solid state systems, there are many types of elementary excitations, such as phonons and quantum F noise, which include the so-called Johnson-Nyquist noise, which come from the dissipative elements in circuits. And there's also low frequency noise, which come from imperfects in material processing processes. And there's also back action noise come from the interaction between the quantum system and the detector noise. So those fluctuations couple to quantum degrees of freedom and affects the system's coherence and affects the feasibility for quantum information processing. So one particular interesting fluctuations is the low frequency fluctuators. So they exist in many devices in solid-state systems. This is one example. So this is a superconducting Josephson junction. We have the superconducting layers and insulating layer. So in such a system, the amorphous quantum two-level system couples to the Josephson energy of this system. Like in this expression, those two-level systems affect slightly the Josephson energy of this junction and couples to the quantum phase variable of the system. So this is one important factor for decoherence in this qubit. And another regime, this is the charging regime in the Josephson junction. The low frequency noise can be described as background charge fluctuations that couples compatibly to the superconducting islands. So in this expression, we have the charge on the superconducting islands coupling with this background fluctuation through a capacitance coupling. So there has been many experimental studies about low frequency noise, including in many devices. So the spectrum of low frequency noise can usually be described as 1 divided by the frequency to the alpha exponent. And here alpha is somewhere between 1 and 2. So this shows spatial and temporal correlation of this type of noise. So there has been studies about temperature dependence of low frequency noise as well. And in some experiments, there's a linear dependence on temperature. In some other experiments, there's quadratic dependence on temperature. And because of the special feature of the low frequency noise, because those fluctuators are usually quite close to the quantum degrees of freedom, we can have quite strong coupling between those noise and qubits. And the result, in many systems, this become a very important factor for decoherence. So there has been experimental progress in controlling low-frequency noise, for example, by designing a better circuit so that the low-frequency noise only couples to higher order to the quantum degrees of freedom, like in the circuit design approach. And there's also groups using a dynamical control approach to effectively integrate out the low-frequency noise by pulses. And there's also groups by using a better fabrication technology and to reduce the number of two-level fluctuators in the, for example, the superconducting layer of a Josephson junction. So when the low-frequency noise couples directly to a quantum two-level system through the eigenstate basis coupling, we have the decoherence decided by the noise spectrum density of the noise directly. And in the circuit design model, when the noise couples to off-diagonal terms of the qubit, we have reduced decoherence because the protection of a large energy gap. So in the same thing for the dynamical control approach, instead of the original low-frequency fluctuations, we have effective noise fluctuation, dirt wave prime, which is the average noise because of the pulse sequence. This also reduced the decoherence. So in this talk, I'm going to present an effect which uses a continuous measurement and which generates an interesting dynamics for the qubit system. So we start from degenerate point design for qubits. So in this design, we have the qubit energy, which is 2Ez on the diagonal term of this Hamiltonian. And then we have the low frequency noise coupled to the off diagonal term of the Hamiltonian, which I showed in the previous slides. So because of the off diagonal coupling and also low frequency nature of the noise, and also because the qubit is protected by the large energy gap, the effective coupling between the noise and the qubit is to second order. So as a result, the noise is greatly reduced. So we build on such a system, and we consider a weak continuous measurement of the qubit states. And the measurement is on the eigenstates of the qubits. So in this case, we talk about the average measure current of state 0 to be I0, and of state 1 to be I1. So the current has actually a fluctuation, which is decided by the detector noise spectral density, and also decided the measurement interval of this special measurement. So there's a characteristic rate, which is called the measurement rate, which is the square of the difference between those two average current divided by 4 times the noise spectral density of the detector noise. So the weak coupling limit is when the measurement rate is much smaller than the qubit intrinsic and dynamic time scale. So in a weak measurement scheme, what people measured is the selective quantum trajectory of the qubit dynamics. So we use a quantum stochastic master equation approach to describe the dynamics. So in this approach, the measured current is made of two parts. The first part is the average current of the qubit states at this moment. And the other part is the noise come from the detector, this is basically the Wiener noise of the detector. So for simplicity, we describe the voltage, the low frequency noise as Gaussian statistic 1/f spectrum noise. And it's a classical, we use a classical description for the noise just for simplicity. So for the dynamics of the continuous measurement, we use the Bayesian formalism. In this case, in each time evolution, the density matrix is modified from the original density matrix by a small exponential factor, depends on what is measured during the current record. So this is the numerical simulation we did for this selective evolution process. We start from an initial state 0 and let the system evolve for a certain amount of time until basically the dashed line. So here in this figure, the x-axis is the time of the evolution, and the y-axis, the blue-colored curve, is basically the simulated current at each time. And the red-colored curve is basically the filtering of the measured current. So we let the system evolve for some time and then until the dashed line. And then we look at how many numbers of jumps we have found in such a system. And then by looking at the jumps, we can interpret a magnitude of the noise, which we call delta V1. And then we change the off-diagonal coupling in the system by minus delta V1 divided by 2. And we let the system evolve again for the same duration of time. And then we look at the jumps again. Once we do that, we can make another interpretation of the effective coupling in the system. And afterward, we can derive an estimation of what noise we have in the system. And then we can comparing this estimation with what the original system noise is, and look at and by adjusting the off-diagonal coupling by delta VC, and we only have a residue coupling, which is residue. So in this case, for this particular simulation, we start from a delta V equal to 0.82, and then the residue noise is only about 0.11. So because the noise actually goes to the fourth order of the, because the decoherence only goes to the fourth order of the noise, so we actually think that by adjusting the off-diagonal coupling with the estimated noise source, we actually have a greatly reduced decoherence. So this effect can be explained by the ensemble averaged master equation of the system. So this is ensemble average master equation. Here by ensemble average, what we mean is that we average over the individual quantum trajectories like different selective quantum trajectories. And then in this Maxwell equation, we have two terms. One is the Hamiltonian evolution term. The other is the continuous measurement term. So this Maxwell equation can be approximated by a second order approach. So in this case, the system population actually decays with a ratio which is proportional to the square of the noise and proportional to the rate of the measurement. So this actually shows the weight continuous measurement does cause the qubit flip, which we've seen in the selective evolution in the numerical simulation we just showed you before. So other interesting regimes, including the quantum Zeno regime, and also from this equation, it's also clear that when there's no continuous measurement, and there's actually no flipping of the qubit like to the lowest order approximation. So this is figure shows how the second order approximation agrees with the exact solution of the Maxwell equation. So we use actually this calibration scheme to control the low frequency noise. This is basically using the same parameter I used before, but studying different sampling of the low frequency noise. So the x-axis is original noise, and the y-axis is the calibrated noise. So you can see that ideally, without any error, the estimated noise should be coincide with the real physical noise. But right now, the simulation result actually shows it stays within a small region of the real noise. So this is very good, so which means the calibration method actually gave us the residue coupling, which is stays in a very small region of the stays in a very small region of the system. So as a result, the decoherence is greatly reduced. And the errors happen in this calibration is mainly made up of two parts. One part is because the Poissonian process, because of the in the qubit flipping process, which is inversely proportional to the amount of time we used for the calibration. And the other part of the error come from the finite dynamics, the finite bandwidth of the quantum system. So it's proportional to the square of the duration of the calibration time. So this figure shows the calibration as basically in this argument, the calibration actually depends on sensitively on the bandwidth of the noise. So when the bandwidth is large, basically when the bandwidth is comparable to the 1/1 of the calibration time of the system, the method becomes not to be valid anymore. So with this calibration scheme, we can think about doing quantum computing, like correcting the low frequency noise by this calibration scheme. So what we have in mind is that we think about each qubit in terms of basically two physical qubits. So in the process of quantum computing, each of the qubits actually take turns to be either the operation qubits or be the qubit that is calibrated in the system. So for example, in this figure, like we basically first have the qubit 1 being calibrated in the beginning, and then we perform quantum logic operations on the first qubit. And then meanwhile, the second qubit is being calibrated. So afterward, we basically do a swap gate between the first qubit and the second qubit. So by doing that, the states in first qubit go into the state in the second qubit. And afterward, we start to do the calibration of the first qubits and then performing gate operations on the second qubits, so and so on. So we use this basically protocol to look at the fidelity of quantum logic gates. So this is basically one simple, very simple quantum logic gate, which is the single qubit bit flip gates. So we look the red colored data basically is the data for the gate operation without the calibration process. And the blue colored data is the fidelity for the calibrated process. So you can see that without the calibration, the fidelity actually goes quadratically, like a parabolic decay with the noise. But with the calibration process, the fidelity stays nearly flat and stays in a very high fidelity in the whole process. So comparing to other method to control low frequency noise, we would say, okay, this method provides an alternative to the existing methods. And comparing for mainly like it's built on the degeneracy point circuit approach, and comparing to like for example the dynamic control approach, we don't need to worry about applying pulse sequence during the quantum operation process. So here is the conclusion. So basically we discussed, so low frequency noise is very common in solid states, and it can generate very serious effect on decoherence. We studied the process that using continuous measurement, there can be interesting dynamics in for the qubit system under low frequency noise, and this effect can be used to control the decoherence of the low frequency noise and improve the fidelity of quantum logic gates. So, yeah, thank you very much.